6 o'clock. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Rockland City Council, Rockland Public Finance Authority, and Successor Agency, August 8th. The time is 6 p.m. Now, we have some special guests in the back there, Troop 29, our scouts. I'd ask if you could come forward, and would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? You can just come. Yeah, Sandy, if you'd like to come on up towards the front here and lead us in the pledge. Right here would be perfect, right there.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And guys, before you go, I want to say we have a Team Rockland pin for being great citizens. Go.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys. Okay. Barbara, if you could, roll call, please.
Councilmember Janda.
Present.
Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Vice Mayor Broadway.
Here.
Councilmember Gayaldo.
Here.
And Mayor Yule.
Here. All right, item number four, reports from boards, committees, and commissions. Anyone to my left?
None.
To my right? Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
Councilwoman Gayaldo, please.
Just real quick, Councilman Broadway and I got to attend the Placer County and Cities meeting, I guess it's been a couple weeks ago, and meet with our local officials, and I appreciated that opportunity. Thank you for National Night Out for both our police and fire, and if you would pass it on to Wendy, what a great job she did, and what a pleasure to go out to the neighborhoods and get to meet with everybody in the different groups and get a little bit of feedback and very positive feedback, so that was wonderful. And then today with Mayor, got to attend the new teacher luncheon for Rockland Unified and meet the new crew coming in and a large crew coming in for,
yep. Yeah,
so I think that's all.
Okay, thank you. Over here, Councilmember.
I did attend another Pioneer Energy meeting last week, and the board or the staff just did preliminary data and proposal on kind of a structure of the agency of the JPA, and also salaries and benefits. They did kind of a regional survey, and at first glance, and I shared with city manager and Scott, who serves as my alternate, kind of the direction that the staff is looking at, and it seemed pretty exorbitant for an agency of that size. So again, it was just kind of a first proposal to make the board aware of what they're looking at. So we're going to definitely look at that very closely before moving forward on any of that. But if you're interested in any of that information, we can get it to you. So thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Mr. Patterson? Okay. All right. Next item is the agenda review. Any agenda modifications desired?
Pull 13.5, bring back in 2 weeks, please.
Okay, that's actually on the consent calendar, which it has been added. 13.5 was added in a later edition and
amended agenda,
but we're going to desire to table it.
Table it until 2 weeks.
Until 2 weeks, okay.
I'm going to have a future agenda item, but I'll actually wait until we get to that.
All right.
Agenda item.
Anyone here? Anyone from the public? Okay, the next item is our consent calendar, and we've just pulled 13.5. Is there any other anything there? Okay, anyone from the public? All right, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second for the consent calendar, tabling 13.5. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Next item is the citizens addressing the city council, and this is an opportunity for anyone in the public to address the council on any items that are not on the agenda, on the regular agenda. Anybody? Okay. We're moving on to our public hearings. I'm going to open a public hearing. This is item 15, which was continued from July 11th. This is the vacation of a public street, Yankee Hill Road between the eastbound and westbound tracks of the Union Pacific Railroad. Is there a staff report tonight?
It's continued.
Oh.
It's continued.
You know, the first thing it says is continued on the calendar. Yes, okay. I apologize. So we don't need any action there. All right, item number 16. This is the Recology Auburn Plaster rate increase, and public hearing is still open. Is there a report to be given? David? Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Ewell, members of the council. David Mullenbrook with the Public Services Department. The item before you tonight is a continuation of what we started with the council back in June, where we acknowledge that the city has been approached by Recology Auburn Placer regarding a proposed rate increase for cost of living adjustments for their personnel. The rate increase is proposed at 2.4%, when in reality that would translate down to just under 1.5% rate increase for the average customer. At the June council meeting, the council established tonight as the protest hearing date night, for which members of the public and property owners who are served by Recology Auburn Placer have an opportunity to state either publicly or through written protest their agreeance or not with the proposed rate increase. Included in your packet are two protest letters that were received prior to posting or publication of the agenda, and staff recommends that you go forward with the public hearing tonight, opening up the public hearing regarding the rate increase. At the close of the public hearing, the city clerk will tabulate the number of protests and determine if there's a majority protest, and then finally, if there's no majority protest, staff recommends that you approve a resolution to amend the solid waste collection service rates to reflect the cost of a living adjustment that is requested by Recology Auburn Placer. Unless there are any questions, that concludes my report.
Thank you. And I don't know if you stated there is a blue memo. For the record,
we have a late entry, so we have three
protests. Third protest.
Okay.
All right, questions? Councilmember Janda, Councilmember Patterson.
Yeah. Is Recology here by any chance? Okay. I just have, for staff, a question, then a question for Recology. So the staff report says something to the – don't have the page pulled up. When we get that new agenda management system, it'll be easier to thumb through it. But the staff report alludes to the fact that if we don't approve the increase, then we're in violation of our contract, our agreement. Is that true? And what's the genesis of that? I assume that's typical verbiage, but that just leads me to philosophical question is,
You're correct, isn't it? The staff report notes that if we did not go forward with the opportunity, then we would be in violation of the franchise agreement that we have with Recology Auburn Placer. And as you noted, that's fairly typical language for utility service providers.
Okay. I think the emphasis on the word opportunity present the case. That's where we'd be in violation, not how you would vote on the matter.
The other question for Recology actually is just, or staff can answer it, but when we were going through the franchise agreement initially, I'm just curious why there isn't an option for a smaller tote.
Yeah, if Recology would like to come forward.
John, Recology answer.
Yeah, John, come on up and. Is that on? Sorry.
That's better?
There we go. Thank you.
We wanted the containers to be the same size, but there's a price where a senior citizen can get for a much decreased rate. So we addressed that. We also have a family service, so I'm going the other direction, where you can have more service for only $3.50 more a month. With an extra container, yeah. And so, in a sense, we have offered that, but we kept the containers the same size. And holidays and that sort of thing, we thought it was beneficial with the larger. And to take it one step further, we have a big bin here, and that's the philosophy. And so everything goes in there, and it gets recycled. And so rather than having three bins, we have two. And so there were a bunch of reasons for that, and the recycling has been quite successful. We're doing between 66 and 68%, so we're ahead of the game. The state, of course, is requiring 75% in the next 7-8 years. But that was the thinking. With the green waste, of course, we offer the larger ones so that during the fall you have enough room and you can have a second or third container at no extra charge. And it's all recycled. And it's actually our green waste program is a model program. We're real proud of it. We actually broke it in here in Rockland years ago. And we have less than 1% contamination, which is pretty phenomenal. Yeah.
So thank you for that. And I think what is important is that, you know, I grew up in Napa and lived in the Bay Area for a while after that, and the cans there were much smaller. But I did receive some questions from people, we should be able to get a smaller bin, but the one bin program is really the explanation for why it appears bigger, because it's really just one can instead of two, for example.
Correct.
And then people can obviously choose the mix on recyclables versus waste. So anyways, thank you for that.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't know, you may have other questions for Recology. I don't want to, if you want to sit down up front there.
A little closer.
Just
all
in
right.
case. You have to
get
come
closer
back.
To the
okay.
gate.
Yeah, perfect. Yes, over here. Vice Mayor, anything? Jill? Okay. I don't have any questions either. But again, to iterate that this is, it's a long-term contract. That, you know, that, so this is kind of a routine process here to go through this, and certainly we take the protests seriously, and we're doing all we can to watch out for the public's the rates to our citizens. Any comments from the public on this item? Okay, I bring it back to council, and certainly entertain any other comments or a motion.
Yeah, I just a comment in relationship to the presentation, the information we've received, you know, Recology, in talking with my neighbors, I know my own experiences, that they've been extremely responsive when questions came up regarding either a damaged tote, a missed tote, earlier pickups, because in some cases that does occur, and you call and you ask a question, they're very responsive. Also the rates, when you compare rates of what we pay, and then you look at the service, and we talk about the recyclables and what's actually not being put into the ground, but what has been done to recycle those materials. I can't say enough about the work that's been done and the responsiveness just within our community. So, you know, I just want to thank you for that, and I support this change.
Hey, anyone else in comments? I'd like to add, too, that over the many years, sometimes you get a complaint maybe from somebody about something, and they're unaware that we contract out. We let them know we contract out. They call, and they've called me back and said, I can't believe how responsive and polite everybody was, and they came out and fixed the problem. So, I, too, very pleased with the service that Recology provides the city of Rockland.
The only other thing I would say, Mr. Mayor, is if we look at the blue memo item, if we could have either provide that information to Recology or have someone follow up with them. They mentioned living in senior housing, and you spoke of, you know, the reduced rate. They talk about biweekly pickup, but even the reduced pickup expense may be something they would be interested in understanding.
Council staff Barbara sent her an email advising this lady of that information earlier today.
As normal, Barbara's ahead of the game,
right.
So thank you.
And if Recology would like the blue memo, we could hand it tonight. Okay. Yep. All right. Council?
There's no majority protest from work.
Yes. So City clerk?
So the city received 3 protest letters.
Yes. So there's no majority protest.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. then we have a resolution before us, and I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, move to approve item 16A, the resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland amending solid waste collection service rates within the incorporated limits of the City of Rockland and rescinding resolution number 2014-167.
And I will second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Recology. Okay, we're moving on to item number 17, the Rockland Municipal Code Design Review Modifications. And this is kind of a second bite at the apple. Is there a report?
Mr. Mayor, Council Members, Brett Finning on behalf of the Economic and Community Development Department. Last November, the Rockland City Council amended the Municipal Code Citywide Design Review Objectives and Criteria to establish four new architectural review districts and district-specific guidelines and criteria. At that time, it was noted that staff would bring forward an amendment to the Rockland Municipal Code Chapter 1772 in order to ensure technical consistency between it and the approved architectural review design criteria. The amendment was originally scheduled to be heard by Council on July 11th. However, upon further consideration and to simplify processes, the item was pulled to incorporate modifications to clarify that the Community Development Director would approve the architecture for single-family homes on infill lots within the architectural districts, and that the Architectural Review Committee would serve only as a recommending body to the Planning Commission and would have no direct approval authority for development projects. If the proposed amendment is approved, at a future date, staff will bring back further changes to the adopted citywide design review criteria for to ensure consistency with these modifications. The Planning Commission did review the proposal at a public hearing on May 2nd. There were no comments from the public, and the Planning Commission, after voicing support for the proposal, voted 4-0, one absent, to recommend approval. This item is not considered a project under the California Environmental Quality Act, and therefore there is no action proposed or required for this proposal. Staff and the Planning Commission are recommending that the City Council approve the amendments to the Municipal Code as proposed. That concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Thank you, Brett. I'll start over here. Councilmember Janda?
No questions.
Patterson?
Yes. In several places, well, questions, and I might as well do my comments at the same time, if you don't mind. But I've noticed in the locations where it changes, there were some changes from when this was considered by the Planning Commission to now, and one of those changes were basically that the Architectural Review Committee becomes basically an advisory, only recommendations, not really any final decision-making, right? So in most cases, isn't that the case?
Only with regard to infill single-family. When the Planning Commission looked at it, infill single-family was thought to be approved by the Architectural Review Committee. However, after further review and consideration, it was decided that would create operational issues, and it would be simpler for the Community Development Director to perform that task, so hence the modification.
Are there any locations where the Architectural Review Committee has final authority itself?
No. Only the Planning Commission and some minor cases, the Community Development Director.
Okay. The only reason why I mentioned that is because my thought was on the noticing requirements. I was initially concerned when I heard that that was going to be taken away, I guess, on the Architectural Review Committee. But since it seems like everything's going to before the Planning Commission anyways, in most cases, there will be noticing at that time. one other question. There's a mention about R1-5 zone not requiring review of it says SFL. Let me see. R1-5. Sorry. Okay. All single-family residential units on lots, less than 6,000 square feet in area that are located in the R5 zone district. So these are that shall not be subject to design review. So can you elaborate on that R15 zone district? I'm not well educated on that.
The R15 zone district primarily applies to some of the older neighborhoods of Rockland. It allows for 5,000 square foot lots. As you probably are all aware, generally speaking, the city of Rockland requires design review for development on residential lots that are less than 6,000 square feet in area. However, in these older neighborhoods that were created long before zoning was even an idea, they've always been exempt from design review. With the adoption of the Architectural Review Committee, some of those lots are now inside the architectural districts. So those lots would be subject to design review. However, those areas that are zoned R15 and outside of the districts would remain exempt. And so that's essentially a carryover from the previous zoning that still applies in a few areas.
Okay. And just one suggested change when we get to the point, and I know this is comment, but it mentions many times community development directors being the final approval person. And because this is an ordinance where maybe the title of that particular person would change, I wonder if we should consider saying, you know, the city manager's designee or something like that, just to, you never know if there's changes now or in the future, and we don't have to change the entire ordinance. You know, so just to suggest something to look at. That's all.
All right. Vice Mayor?
No comments.
Or questions? Council, all right. I don't either. We had an extensive discussion on this item prior meeting, and this has kind of come back. And I'm very pleased at the way it's been finalized. Anyone from the public on item 17 wish to comment? Okay. Then I'll come back to council. Any other comments or entertain a motion?
There's no comments. I would suggest approving the item as written with the change of from community development director, wherever that is in the ordinance, to city manager or his or her designee.
Well, maybe we should discuss that a little bit. I don't have any heartburn about that, but then I don't know that I'd want to create a situation where it could be a rotating designee, you know, that kind of a thing either. Any comments from our city attorney?
Well, I think that in this particular case, when we're dealing with an ordinance that's within the zoning code, it is fairly typical to have staff functions specifically designated to the community development director, which is the pattern that is in this ordinance. I think if you went through some of the other ordinances within the zoning code, you would find multiple examples of where duties are delegated directly to the director. So I think this is consistent with the current zoning code, but it's certainly within the council's discretion if it is your desire to make that change.
Well, Councilmember makes a good point. I mean, obviously, if the title's changed or something, but I don't know. I guess I'm a little indifferent at this point, but
I assume if titles change, then... Well, I'm just hoping we don't have to update the entire code where it says community development director, because that's very specific, you know. But, I mean, I'm not going to pick a fight over that. I just was trying to clean it up a little bit on the suggestion. So, however,
so Councilmember Patterson, what is your thought in relationship to changing that, given the director oversees the planning and development activity? What is your desire in relationship to having the manager handle that, city manager, as opposed to
no,
the director?
I mean, in the community development director is the appropriate person, I mean, to do it. I just, to be that specific on the individual title, that might not be here, 10 years from now, and then do we have to amend the ordinance to another specific title name. So it was more my concern about ongoing and not having to change an ordinance because we make some minor change to titles. But it's
not that it would hopefully not occur, but my concern would be by changing the language to direct it to the city manager or his designee, that changes that from being specifically managed by the individual handling our planning to it being any designee. And not that Kim couldn't do that, but I think that at this time Mark's better positioned to do that.
Well, hopefully you trust whoever your city manager appoints to, and it's presumably it would be Mark anyways, you know. But I mean, I just that's fine. Hopefully.
Well, I may have kind of stepped in on your motion there to maybe further discussion, but I think you're starting to make a motion.
I mean, I'm okay with moving it as indicated in the agenda.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second the motion.
And a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously. All right. We're moving on to item number 18. And I know we also have in the audience our illustrious County Supervisor Jim Holmes, who I think is going to speak after this. You have some input to provide. And I understand it's your 35th anniversary, and you're here tonight. So what a commitment. So we'll start. This will be our city attorney providing the report.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. The item before you is an urgency interim ordinance imposing a moratorium on all commercial marijuana land uses. As you may recall, the California voters adopted or approved Proposition 64 back in November, legalizing the non-medical recreational use of marijuana. The city has adopted several ordinances in response to that proposition over the last several months. One was to regulate the use of marijuana in public places. We also have adopted regulations relating to the cultivation of marijuana, both outdoors and indoors. The one area that we have not yet addressed as of yet is the commercial marijuana uses, because this proposition opens the door to a wide variety of commercial marijuana uses, including commercial growing, laboratory uses, transportation uses. Under Prop 64, the state is tasked with coming up with a regulatory program by January 1st, 2018. So starting January 1st or shortly thereafter, there's the possibility for commercial marijuana uses to start locating within the state. Cities have the ability to also adopt regulations of non-medical marijuana uses. We have the ability to prohibit all commercial uses. We have the ability to prohibit some uses and decide that others are appropriate for our community. So what the ordinance before you this evening does is it adopts a temporary moratorium which maintains the status quo. And the reason for that is to ensure that no businesses locate within this community until we have an opportunity to see what the state regulatory scheme looks like and to have your staff review that and make recommendations to the city council as to what may or may not be appropriate within this community, and have the city council then adopt a permanent ordinance addressing commercial marijuana uses. So if you were to adopt this ordinance this evening, it would be good for 45 days. And within that time frame, we would come back with an extension, which would extend the ordinance for an additional 10 months and 15 days. And then during that time period, it would be staff's intent to bring back recommendations on a permanent program to the city council. The item before you tonight takes 4/5 vote in order to be adopted. Happy to address any questions.
Down here, Councilmember Janda, Patterson, Vice Mayor.
No questions.
All right, I have no questions. We'll open it up to public input from the public. Supervisor, would you like to speak now or?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Council Members, City Manager Horst, City Attorney. thank you for recognizing my 35th wedding anniversary.
Anniversary.
It was August 8th, 1982, the hottest day of the year, and it's been a hot time ever since.
Of course it has.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you on this item. I just want to let you know what Placer County is doing in regards to a safe access to medical cannabis. We adopted a very stringent ordinance in November of last year where it's 50 square feet indoors or 50 square feet outdoors. But since I am a community member that's been in the community all my life, I know many, many people that have used medical cannabis for their either for their own use, for their family's use. I have a very close friend that just lost his wife last week who had suffered from breast cancer for 2.5 years. She was able to have medical cannabis to treat, so when she was going through chemotherapy, kept her fighting for 2.5 years. I have a very well-respected man that served in elected offices throughout Placer County. He's quite a bit older than I am. He came up and talked to me about his grandson, who was in a very terrible accident, and the only way that they can control his seizures is through medical cannabis. And he was a little bit critical about our very stringent ordinance. Just today at our Board of Supervisors meeting, we had a mother come for us, and her son suffers from seizures. And she was very distraught because of the tightening of our ordinance. She claims that this isn't enough to keep her son in the product for a year. So what we did in November when we passed this ordinance, I asked the Board of Supervisors if we could form a working group to look at the possibility of providing an ordinance for safe access to medical cannabis. We're not talking about recreation. We're just talking about people that need the medication. So the board gave me direction. My request was to form a working group. I was the chair. Supervisor Montgomery, our chair of the Board of Supervisors, serves on that. We have our public health officer, Dr. Robert Oldham, is on that. Our agricultural commissioner, Josh Hunsinger, who will be regulating the ordinance, who has become a very well-regarded member throughout the state of California. He just presented to the League of Cities and the California State Association of Counties seminar just 2 weeks ago. We have our director of environmental health, the one that regulates water usage and those kinds of things, sewer issues. There, he's a member. County Executive Officer Becky Regan, you've met her before. Our Chief Building Official, who's going to be overseeing the complaints, Timothy Wagner, is a member of that. A very important member is the Children's System of Care Public Educator, Christine Ibasis. I'm sure you've met her. She's worked with the Placer Youth Coalition about the effect of marijuana on the developing brain and how it's in our schools. There's a Placer County citizen who has a dispensary in Sacramento. She lives out in West Roseville. She's a patient advocate and runs a dispensary. And then Casey Brown, who is the director of the board director for the Placer County Growers Association. And it was interesting, in some of our meetings, Mr. Brown's son plays for a local high school football team. And he and Christine Ibasis had the same concern about the amount of marijuana in our schools. And as his son plays football, he sees what goes on in the schools. And so it's very important for us to make sure that whatever we do does not enhance the ability for kids to get marijuana in our schools. And if we do put this ordinance in place, it'll be from the seed to the sale. Everything that is produced will be tracked and traced. And so if it ends up in a school, we can find out where it came from. I served on a school board several times for 8 years. Several times we had students, believe it or not, brought marijuana to school, and we couldn't find out where it came from. So that's something that we'll be addressing. Our working group is facilitated by Matt Eaton, who is a cannabis compliance manager for the state of Colorado for 5.5 years, retired law enforcement. He's given us, we've had about 8 different workshops, and he's given us the do's and don'ts. He's gone through all the things that Colorado's gone through moving forward with this. And so we're very pleased with his report. He gave us a lot of good direction. And then at the conclusion of our meetings, we did a survey of all the members. 100% of the members realized that we do not have a safe access to medical cannabis in our county. That doesn't mean 100% want to see dispensaries or access in our counties. So I'm bringing this forward to you because next Tuesday on the 15th, we will have the full report before our Board of Supervisors. Mr. Eaton has a presentation that he's going to give. We have it. I want to make sure that your board and the city manager has that before the end of the week so you can go over and see where we're at. There's several things that are very concerning to us. First of all, we want to make sure that there's proper zoning to reduce any address any nuisances and neighborhood conflicts. Environmental concerns, certainly with the water and all the usage of electricity and water. Use and storage of all hazardous materials. Regulations that assure access only to qualified patients. And reducing access to youth. And strict limitations about the size and scope. So if we make very strict policy, it will force those that are really engaged in this and know what they're doing to follow our policy, and that'll kind of keep the people that think they're going to come in and make a quick buck. Hopefully that's my desire. I want to make sure that you understand that whatever we do on Tuesday, we will respect the ordinance of your city and the other cities in Placer County. We are not Yolo County. We're not Calaveras County, who went way too far too fast. But our basic population, we're approaching 400,000 people, and the majority of that population lives in the fine cities of Lincoln, Rockland, and Roseville, and we want to respect your ordinances and not have a conflict with your city ordinances. If we do move forward, this will be driven not by the industry. We will be ensured that the policies will be set forth by the Board of Supervisors. We'll have input from the industry, but we're not going to be driven by their desires. And then last but not least, as I said before, the impact to our young people is very, very critical, and that's why it'll be important to have seed-to-sale tracking throughout the process. We'll probably be looking at a lab facility. There's someone interested in opening a lab in a Sunset Industrial area. It's just very preliminary discussion. So anyhow, I just want to give you a heads up. That's where we're at. I'm not sure where the board will go. I have a feeling that they want to move forward in some fashion. And if we do allow commercial medical cannabis grows, there will be some strict limitations on the sizes and the zoning and everything else that falls into the place. And with that, I will be glad to answer any questions, any concerns that you have.
Okay. Yeah. Council, if you have any questions of the supervisor, I know it's not necessarily speaking to the ordinance that were before us tonight, but it's certainly a related topic. But Councilmember Patterson?
Yes, I do. first of all, I'd be interested in learning more about where the zoning will be for permitted of all uses, growing and sale, you know, because there's some county property between those three fine cities you
mentioned. Absolutely. That'll be one of our main concerns, and we will be given staff direction to make sure that zoning is in the proper locations.
And then question that actually is pertaining to our ordinance. So we're talking about recreational use,
right,
with our ordinance and with the state law. So how's the county approaching the new state law, and how does that interact with the medical cannabis?
We're working in conjunction with state law. We are not going to allow commercial grows for recreational. So that's off the table. So that's going to be part of our ordinance. And we have the ability. The state law sets much of the direction, but we have the ability to enhance that, and that's going to be our intent.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Scott.
Yes, Councilmember Janda.
Thank you, Supervisor Holmes, for coming out. And I appreciate you updating us. And as developments kind of occur, it'd be great to have you back occasionally to kind of fill us in just like this. It's fantastic. And Councilmember Patterson brought up a question that piqued me about how you were handling the difference between medical and recreational, and you hit that. So I'm glad that you've addressed those differences. Yeah. So thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Vice Mayor?
Yes. Thank you, Supervisor Holmes, for speaking with us tonight and updating us. I share the concern that was expressed by Councilmember Patterson relative to the fact that we do have areas within close proximity, right, surrounded by those cities you mentioned. And so actions that are taken, well, you know, we've taken specific actions which we feel are in the best interest of our citizens. We want to ensure that as the county also is taking action, that they're considering, you know, us as well, given that you may be a little island right in the middle of mm-hmm. those cities.
Okay. No, duly noted. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. I'm glad you brought up the school issue. I am aware of some issues that we've had, and in particular the size. And I know I can see why you were saying you're concerned maybe that is too small, but what some of our schools have experienced is once you get any decent size, the word's out, and the kids are jumping the fence, and they're tearing up the plants. And I tell you, obviously, you know, I've seen it happen. But we know it's happened. So I think, as much as I want to have access to the people that need medication, that they, I want to make sure that we really limit and consider that size issue, just because then it, you know exactly how it is. It's
absolutely, yeah. They figure it out, don't they?
Yeah, they figure it out real quick.
Yeah.
And I think, too, I did come to that presentation a few weeks back.
Uh-huh.
And again, I'm a little stunned to see some of our neighboring areas and see the locations and the quantity. I was pretty stunned, and right next to schools and different areas. And so obviously we don't want that to happen in Rockland.
Well, that's my intent, is take very measured steps and not go too far too fast. And that's what happened in Calaveras County. They kicked the board out, and now they're stuck. They've collected all these fees, and they don't know what they're going to be able to do to give them back or anything. So anyhow, it's a work in progress. We're a very conservative county. And I just want to make sure that we're not doing anything too far, too fast with this new reality that we're involved in.
Well, I appreciate the work. This is an amazing process. And as you mentioned, watching how they go through from the seed and how it is monitored. Of course, my concern is, boy, is that monitored. So I assume somebody's going to do something on their own that has no monitoring.
Well, that's the idea. If we have a strict regulation, then the bad guys, we can send the sheriff's department. And I worked with Sheriff Bell and Under Sheriff Wu, understand my position on this, and I've worked with him. District Attorney and I have met and talked about it. Of course, he has some different perspective, as a district attorney would. But anyhow, they're involved in the discussions, and just want to make sure that everybody knows how we're moving forward without too any conflicts or any surprises.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time. I know you noticed this was on our agenda, and you voluntarily took the time to come out and present tonight. And, I mean, we really sincerely appreciate that communication. The ordinance you're referring to, though, did you address tonight the buffer, the property lines between county and city lines? Did you address it, and I didn't hear it, or –
We're very concerned to make sure that there's a proper zoning buffers between cities and the unincorporated areas. So we don't want, I don't know what that, whether it be a mile, you know, I'm not sure. That's something that we'll give direction to staff and work with your city and the other cities to make sure that we're all in agreement about how that moves forward.
And can you remind me again of the kind of timeline of this
process? Well, we're going to talk about it next Tuesday. So this is going to be the first full board discussion. Of course, Supervisor Montgomery and I have been involved. Our staff is informed, Supervisor Duran, Supervisor Euler, and Supervisor Wygant. But we will have the full board discussion next Tuesday. And so that's when we will find out where everybody is and then hopefully give direction or say, well, maybe we won't do anything and leave it as it is. Because the ordinance we have in place, we're seeing that a lot of the grows that were illegal are not around anymore. There's one just outside of Auburn and Millertown Road that they had big hoops up in last year, and they're all gone. So yeah. So they've really cut back on the illegal grows. There's still a lot out there, but not as many as there have since we put the ordinance in place.
Okay. Well, thank you again. I know all jurisdictions in Placer County has had a strong history of cooperation, and
right. And I
trust we'll continue that.
And it's my great honor to represent the majority of Rockland on the Placer County Board of Supervisors.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you.
All right, anyone else have any comments or input on our item, the ordinance? Okay, I'll bring it back to council. Any comments or would entertain a motion?
I think it's great. I thank staff for thinking ahead on this, and so we can consider it. It's going to be interesting with the county's implementation of whatever they end up coming up with and how that will impact our own resolution. Interestingly, the recreational use of these items, it's going to be interesting how it impacts the medical issues because, basically everybody knows anybody can get one of these cards, you know. So there are legitimate needs for it, but the recreational use is interesting. So I just thank staff for, you know, looking into this. Obviously, I don't think anybody wants impacts in our schools and but at the same time, you know, we have a reality that this is going to be, you know, law of the land is that this is going to be legal. So it's a complicated matter. So thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
No additional comments.
Okay. I, too, want to say thank you to our legal counsel for bringing this matter forward. And it is a new world, will be a new world, certainly come January. And, good communication, I think, and a lot of respect among jurisdictions will get us through it. And I know we've been very responsive to our citizens, who I think we hear loudly and clearly support the strictest enforcement. And so we have an ordinance before us tonight, an urgency. Any other comment? Okay. If I don't have a motion, I'd be happy to make one.
I will make a motion to move adoption of an urgency interim ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rockland adopting a moratorium on all commercial marijuana land uses in the City of Rockland.
I'll second.
Okay, a motion and second on item 18. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, reports from city officials, discussions of potential action items, city manager report. You have a rather extensive report, written report, but no,
nothing to add.
All right, thank you. City Attorney?
No, sir.
Future agenda items. I know Councilmember Patterson had something. You want to start with that?
Sure. Two brief things. First of all, on their strategic planning meeting, I was wondering if maybe we could have the mayor and the vice mayor meet with the city manager to put together the strategic planning agenda. Or just the mayor, but either
way. How
about
just a council member?
I mean, I'm happy to do it as well. I'm more than happy to, but I think it's, you know, it's we obviously can't all talk about it before it happens, and I'm happy to do it, obviously, but I wanted to make sure we have potentially different perspectives. So if it was Ken and I where maybe we agree on stuff, seems to be a pattern sometimes, then you know, I was thinking we could have a different perspective on that.
Well, I would certainly be happy to be a part of that. I know I think you had offered this item as the topic, and so it might be appropriate for you to be a part of that. I'm not
Sure, I'm happy to. I'm also happy to defer to
I will Vice defer Mayor. To Councilmember Patterson, given that you have expressed a strong interest in this.
Okay, happy to do it. So
I'd be happy as mayor to
talk about this.
Is that all right with you, Ken?
Absolutely.
Would that work together?
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Okay, and got then, that done. We actually make big decisions here, too.
So. I know, exactly. One other thing I just wanted to I was joking with Mr. Horst about Joe's mumblings, you know, that is going to become a feature column at city council meetings. So I just want to start with some comments. I'm a big fan, obviously, of Costco coming to this area. But I will say I do lose some sleep over it not being in Rockland. I think it should be in Rockland. And ultimately, its construction of whether in Loomis or Rockland will benefit our city, and we'll see sales tax. So I think it's going to be, no matter where it is, it's going to be a great benefit to our city. But I am troubled by, you know, over the course of the last four decades, our neighbors in Loomis have engaged in years and years of lawsuits that have cost Rockland taxpayers millions of dollars by delaying construction of our own development projects out here. For example, causing the gallery to move to Rockland. I actually brought with me a staff report. This is an old one. I know Mayor Yule's been, part on the council during some of these lawsuits, but, this is a town council report from 2010 of their entire strategy about what they should do to address development in Rockland. That includes a litigation strategy. And obviously, I don't think that's the right way to approach things.
Also, we're moving towards a future agenda item.
Yes, I'm getting there. But I got to say the reasons why I get there. But our friends have contributed, you know, very little to the public infrastructure up there that Rockland taxpayers have paid for. And I don't think it's fair for our residents. So my personal view is that I don't want Rockland residents to be on the hook for, you know, any additional improvements over there. And I also think if that's going to happen, I think Loomis needs to be contributors to existing infrastructure that we've paid to put in. And so I would like to request that, first of all, I'd like to recognize staff for sending a terrific letter to Loomis on the draft EIR comment letter, but I'd also like to request that we receive periodic public reports on what's going on, perhaps in the city manager report, and the status of the mitigation efforts that we've requested in that letter, because I think those are pretty good. So, and when the time comes, that we have an opportunity as a council to opine on what the impacts will be to Rockland residents and our revenue streams.
So to be clear, you're suggesting they bring more reports to council?
That we kept abreast publicly about what's happening with that development. Again, whether it's in Rockland or Loomis, I mean, support Costco coming to this area, I think it's going to be a great thing. So, but obviously I want to make sure Rockland residents aren't on the hook for taxpayer dollars.
Okay. Any problem with that? Anyone else? All right. The item written in the agenda is a suggestion to permanently cancel the first meeting in July and the second meetings in November and December due to holidays, which is, I think, historically we tend to do that anyway, correct?
Historically do, but we do it one or two meetings before, and then we hustle to work with applicants and others, and be nice to give people advance notice, including ourselves. So it's been pretty much ever since I've been here anyway.
Yeah. So this isn't an action item. This is, do we need to?
Yes, sir. He can entertain a motion
on. Yeah, we could entertain a motion on tonight, I guess, okay, because it's written in the agenda. Council, any comments on that? Any?
I just know from history of my time on both Planning Commission and attending that historically those have been canceled, so I would support officially canceling those moving forward.
And I think this year I think our December meeting's on Christmas Day. And so what I appreciate it giving the staff some notice so that when you need items that need to get through, you have time to put them on the appropriate agenda. Makes sense.
I definitely think it's a great idea. I would assume if there's any need to add one of those meetings back in, we certainly can.
Absolutely.
Right? From a timing standpoint, if we had to get that in. So, yeah, that'd be the only concern I have.
Well, more important than our time then is the public's time. So I'd interested in any comments from the public about this item. Okay, then I too, given that we usually do cancel them, I certainly would support doing so and would entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move to approve item 21, permanently canceling the first meeting in July and the second meetings in November and December due to the holidays.
No, second the motion.
Can I ask a question? Are we allowed to take action on that right now?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I had asked for clarification, and maybe I didn't ask.
Oh, well, maybe I was dozing off or something.
You might have been dozing off. So we have a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Future strategic planning items, we've covered that. Public financing authority, there's no action. City Council acting as successor agent, no action. And thank you, everyone, for attending. Meeting is adjourned.